Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's Mike Shope.
Name any word in less than a second, I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for three-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Thought about just asking you to guess what I've been reading about for the last 5 minutes, but that's too hard. One question I have from the article that I'm reading, though, is do you think your boy Jackson Dart is like a good NFL prospect? Mississippi quarterback?
Yeah. I don't think I can say. I've hardly watched him play all year. I bet on them a lot this year, it seemed, in picks and otherwise. FanDuel tells me so, that they were one of my most bet on. It must have been a bunch of parlays because I was not betting single games of Ole Miss football.
And then not watching them.
Right.
Notre Dame brought the kickoff back, by the way.
Wow. So they're about to be 20. I hope you got in on that 9.5 then, people. It's looking good. So, I don't know. It feels to me like because they sort of fell short, like they were a pretty hot story early in the year, that maybe he's been underwhelming, but I don't know what that has to mean. I just haven't really sat and watched him enough to tell you, like, I think he's going to be good.
Okay. Well, it doesn't help me too much.
Sorry. Yeah. What's the story saying about
him? Boning up on next year's prospects.
Okay.
Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Him I know. He'll be hotly debated.
Yes.
Because there probably will be hype for him to go at or near the top of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But come on.
Sure.
Ashton Jeanty.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the guy in fantasy that you want 101, right? You're going to want the Boise State running back.
Sure. Or what about this kid last, the guy from Arizona State?
Scatabo?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know what kind of I have not looked at rankings or anything yet, so I don't know where. I know who Jeanty is, obviously. He was a story all year in college football, and Scatabo was to an extent also that, but just like a tier below, I guess I'd say, of Jeanty. But like those two guys showing out. Well, Jeanty didn't exactly show out in their bowl game. He had his maybe worst outing of the year, 106 yards only. And he was, I think, 125 or 130 away from setting the single-season record.
Is that right?
Yeah. And they did a good job on him. Anyway.
Is he going to be – can I ask you about him?
Sure.
What's the earliest, as we speak here on January 2nd? This is a great New Year's Day topic. The draft, mm-hmm. Right? Come on. I know the season's not over. But every year, the first show after New Year's, we should have some discussion about the draft. What's the earliest, as we talk here on January 2nd, you could justify his getting picked in the NFL draft? Like, if he goes 10th, could you justify that pick, depending on the team?
It feels to me like he's certainly the best running back in college football this year. That's Bijan Robinson territory, though,
that's
right?
That's right.
And it does not, I've not, I've, you're reading maybe one of your first, I've not done any of this yet. I've seen the guys play, I've heard people talk about them, but I don't have a sense that this guy is the level of prospect that Bijan Robinson was.
I kind of think he might be, but there'll be. I'm not okay. the expert either. Right. And Gibbs. I mean, Gibbs went 12th, right, to Detroit.
Yep.
How'd that go?
That seems like it's working out.
I hated that pick.
Me too.
Everybody did, right? What are you doing?
Right. Right.
A complimentary running back?
The thing that's interesting now, though, about Genty and about Scadabo, whoever the top running backs will be, I did see something cross my face this morning that's like the pool of running backs this year is super deep. And that now that can cut both ways. Like you might feel like I don't need to spend a top 20 pick on a running back because I'm going to get decent value on Saturday. Over here with the pool of guys. What I think we don't know is how much the years that Henry and Barkley, and I guess to a slightly lesser extent, although you know Jacobs has been certainly very good, but the big name running backs who got paid this offseason, they've had positive impacts on their teams.
Yep.
There's no question about it. And does that cause some kind of a recalibration of, you know, the running backs don't matter crowd, and does that push teams to think like, well, you know, I think I'd rather spend an asset early on this guy and have him cost controlled for 4 or 5 years than go shopping for one in free agency. So that could push you to draft a guy earlier. Again, the thing I've never liked about drafting guys earlier is you generally look at with like a first round pick the second contract, and I don't want any part of a second contract with almost any running back ever.
And that includes Cook.
Yeah, I just don't want to. I don't want to get there. I just don't. It stops paying off.
I think that is going to be though a specific aspect of the running back's value conversation this year because of Barkley and Derrick Henry, and we want to see that through. But maybe you don't even need to. I mean, those guys both had historic seasons. Barkley, I mean, 2,000 yards.
Right.
So whether it's draft capital or free agent money, cap money, I think it can be easily overstated, Barkley's value to the Eagles, but it didn't bust.
No, it definitely didn't. Like, they would do it again in a second.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would.
Same for Henry with the Ravens, I think. Does that say, like, I would necessarily want to do it again? I never would have done it in the first place. Because, you know, what do we not know here? What we don't know is how good the Eagles would have been with, David Montgomery playing the role Barkley played for them. I mean, I know they're not the same physical player, but how much would Philly's results be different if they had your name here playing running back?
Well, they did just have DeAndre Swift last year, and that season fell apart. They weren't terrible, but, you know, they were great for a while, and then they went bad.
Right, but you're not suggesting that it fell apart because they didn't have Saquon. There was a bunch of other stuff that happened.
That's right.
Right. It got messy. So I don't even, like, a question there would be, does Saquon Barkley stop that from happening because he's on your team? Probably not. I mean, they fell apart for, I think, emotional reasons. The coach, there was some weird stuff going on there with them last year.
So, go ahead.
No, I was done.
So earlier we're talking about the Bills playing defense in the playoffs and whether they should change things up, and meaning like more aggressive. The past defense philosophies of the Bills that have helped them to 5 straight division titles, some would argue, are more costly in the playoffs. Against better teams, more efficient, they can do what the Chiefs did last year in the playoff game on 47 plays, by the way. Like, that's one of the lowest numbers you see, especially for a good team. But Kansas City, what was it? 47 plays in that playoff game for 7.6 yards per play. I've got yards per play against the Bills from, it's 11 playoff games. It includes Jacksonville. From all the McDermott playoff games, I guess this would be.
All right.
Yards per play allowed. The three worst outings for the Bills defense are the three games against Kansas City, which, again, surprised?
Not at all.
6.86 in the AFC Championship, 7.56 yards per play in the 13 seconds, 7.68. It went up each time, yards per play in last year's game. Fourth on this list, fourth worst, is the game against Indianapolis. 6.21 against Philip Rivers and the Colts. And before that is the Burrow game. 5.8. Bills average yards per play against by season. So this year they're 5.5. Which is like right in the middle on this list. I'm not sure how well this stuff correlates because, again, these are against better teams and it's still not a huge sample, 11 games. But the 5.5 yards per play allowed, this year's Bills defense is tied for the most in the last 6 years with 2020, the COVID year, where I think everybody's numbers spiked.
Yeah.
No crowds.
Right.
So offense flourished. So, you know, you know this. I mean, this is not where my next point is not about these playoff games, but this year's defense has gotten away with it somewhat because of takeaways. And that'll be like right with this stuff in the postseason to determine whether they can keep winning.
Right. Sure. I mean, you look at, was the Ram game the game they didn't get any?
Yes.
Right. Like the whole, not the whole game, but like as that game, as the Bills sort of got back in that game, got on their feet, and like it was, oh, this is a game. It was like, here's where you really need the turnover. Right? You're not stopping this team. They're seemingly doing whatever they want to you, but what's the great equalizer is somebody tips a pass and it's right to DeMar Hamlin and yay, but it never came. And, you know, we saw the result. I mean, it's not the reason they could have won the game without a turnover. Maybe if they handle the end of the game situation differently, maybe they find a way to win it. But it is like the thing that was missing from their most recent loss was no takeaways. And, you know, we would have probably still been worried about the yards and the points if they had gotten one. But, you know, it also had a blocked punt in that game, right?
That's right.
So that's basically a turnover against you that went for a score. It's not a pick six, but it's close enough. So, yeah, I mean, they are – it is the thing that I think I would say at this point, they need it. I don't think they – you know – it's not the strongest unit of the team for by far, and I think they need that. They need that element. I think otherwise, because they're not stopping people enough. I don't think.
You know where they rank in the league in first downs allowed? 29th.
That's tough.
That is tough. That is really generally the scariest thing about them for me. Is whether or not they need both sides. They're first in both. They are first in the league in takeaways with 31, and they are first in the league in fewest turnovers with 8. They are first in both. If they could be tied, but still.
That's awesome, but a little scary.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
How can you be first in both? How many times would that have happened over the years? But that is a little scary. Against better teams,
mm-hmm.
even maybe including Denver, just a little bit more efficient and less likely to implode like the Jets. Anytime you're not like the Jets, good.
Yeah.
That's a compliment.
That was a joyous afternoon
yes.
watching the hometown football team with a couple of beers and not having to talk after. And not, you know, I hope it went well for you. But I had a great time watching that. There's watching like the... the whole year's worth of talk about the Jets and what I thought they were going to be and watching it on the field happen. I mean, I made embarrassing, evil villain in a cartoon sounds when he got sacked for the safety, Rodgers. I mean, I was just like so – I don't know if I've ever been more overjoyed at a particular player against the Bills failing as I was with him. So that was a fun time.
I think the most satisfying sequence – was earlier than that. I think it was earlier than that, where they were driving, and then you had the 3rd and 1. 7-0. The Bills score on the first drive. 7-0. And they're around like the 20 or 25-yard line. And it's a little RPO play where he fakes the handoff to Braylon Allen, who could have walked for 5 yards, you know, easily. No. Rodgers rolls out, can easily run for it, doesn't, and throws it at the feet of the guy downfield for the easy touchdown.
And then makes faces at him.
And then makes it like throws his hands up. On the next play, maybe threw his hands up. One of the two, because that's 3rd and 1, and the next play is 4th and 1.
And they
get
got stuffed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man. What a division this year. No Pro Bowlers. I mean, that tells you.
Right.
The Jets had none. The Dolphins had none. The Patriots had one, a special teamer named Brendan Schooler, and the Bills had only two. Only three players in the division made the roster out of 44. That is really
right.
Something. So the Pro Bowl, it's the Pro Bowl games, or as the release from the league announced them as today to my email, the highly anticipated Pro Bowl
games. Oh, well, I'm glad they squeezed that in there.
Skills on the Thursday night, and then Sunday is flag football. You know this because you love the Pro Bowl games. I know you already know what the schedule is and everything.
Yeah. Am I supposed to watch Deion Dawkins participate in tug of war or something? Like what exactly am I supposed to? I mean, nothing against that. I mean, you know, the Superstars was fun back when we were kids, and the television personalities competing in Olympic style events. Fine.
Oh, baby.
I don't know that I really need to watch pro football players do it, but the skills competition has gotten my attention a few times.
What exactly? You mentioned the Superstars, but the Battle of the Network Stars. What was the magic formula there? Because to explain that to somebody now, what this show was, would it ever sound good?
Right. Superstars was athletes from all kinds of different sports competing against one another in track and field type events. Battle of the Network Stars was Lola Falana competing against, I don't know.
Oh, your Bill Conrads.
Sherman Hensley.
Your Sherman Hensleys.
Like, what are we doing here? How do you explain that?
Anson Williams's.
I don't know. It's your chance to see the cast of Three's Company in shorts and tight shirts.
Your like, Suzanne Plachette's.
That's basically it. I don't know. That was it.
Your Dick Van Patten's.
Adrian Barbeau.
Your Adrian Barbeau's. Go ahead. Or I will. I'm telling you up front, this is going to sound ridiculous and nothing at all like a television show you'd want to watch.
Right.
Personalities from the three major networks. This was a time when there were three networks. Personalities from the major networks competing in sports. Swim relays, tug of war, the dunk tank. There was a dunk tank one. I mean, a little bit. We just want to see these people in bathing suits. But still, you know.
Right.
Sport score was kept with easily the preeminent sportscaster of the generation, of the era, Howard Cosell, absolutely selling it to you.
Oh, he was not mailing it at all.
Absolutely no. Selling you 100% intensity and enthusiasm, right. These swim races, and it was great.
I don't think I missed a single one.
It was great. As someone myself right now who could not name two network personalities, maybe not even one, on any network. Is Nick still on a show?
Kathy Bates is on something.
All right. Queen Latifah?
Almost definitely.
So these people competing in relays, would that sound like something with who do you want? Who's the voice you want?
I cannot imagine a scenario where, I mean, we're older guys now. I can't imagine a scenario where my kids are both in their 20s. I can't imagine a scenario where they're like, "Oh, I gotta get home tonight. The star of Matlock is you know gonna be long jumping." Like, what?
I can't miss it.
What?
I also don't have any way of recording it.
This is what...
Because it's 2025, not 1978.
This is what being limited to three channels plus, like, 29 and 17. This is what it did to you. I got to get home and watch, you know...
What was the
John
magic formula?
John Ritter in the javelin toss.
Your John Ritter's...
The late John Ritter.
Oh, half these people must be deceased at this point. Your John Ritter's... What was the secret sauce? Why was that great?
I'm just going to say cleavage and shorts. It's a different
and
era.
And Cosell,
sure.
And Cosell.
Because it felt like maybe a serious sports competition because of the way you described it, which is exactly how I remember him as well. There was nothing campy about it. Like, I'm here doing the job.
If you watch these now, which I do from time to time, a couple times a year, maybe I'll end up in the Battle of the Network Stars rabbit hole. If you watch them now, it's so sexist.
Oh, yeah.
And Cosell included.
That's why I mean, it's completely different time. Why did it get on the air? I told you my reason. It's a very different time.
And the poor women, they're just like, yep. You know, they're sort of like, yep. Just,
I got to get in the pool in the shirt. I know. Yeah, it's pretty gross.
What was it about that show? It's surely been written on. Somebody has tackled this question. Why? The Grantland or something like that back in the day probably had an article, a 5,000-word Ben Lindbergh piece on why Battle of the Network Stars was amazing.
Let's Google that crap. It's got to be out there. I want to read it. As someone who wrote a 10-page term paper on an episode of Seinfeld, I want to see a long-form review of the Battle of the Network Stars.
Netflix versus Apple TV versus Hulu versus Peacock. That's the battle now. That's the new version of it would be streaming services. I'm loving Only Murders in the Building, by the way, on Hulu.
Oh, good.
Season 3. It's still getting better.
All right.
Selena Gomez. Your Selena Gomez's touchdown Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Still 9:36 to go in the third quarter. Notre Dame scored 17 points across halftime in less than a minute. And went up 20-3 from a 3-3 tie. But now Georgia has hit on about a 35-yard touchdown pass to make it 20-9. Extra point upcoming. Sal joined us earlier to look ahead to Week 18. Who will play for the Bills? Who won't? And other topics. Mostly football related. We'll have that conversation for you next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.